Welcome, everybody. I am William D. Hewitt, and I am broadcasting live from the vast plains of the Free State, somewhere in the old Boer Republic. Yes, I am simulcasting on Revision Media and D. Hewitt House of Radio, and tonight I have a very special guest and friend on. I have the great Mike Sleggs, who goes by Mike Vril these days and has a new show out himself called The Laugh Walk Strike. And Mike, I appreciate you joining me, my friend.
Hey, thanks for having me on. It's an honor to be here, and always great to talk to good friends and like-minded people in the struggle for white existence.
Well, thank you, Mike. The pleasure is all mine. And, you know, I just want to get right into this. It's been, geez, I remember the last time you and I talked, and that was on November 29th. I remember because it was a day before my 43rd birthday. And you and I had done about a three-hour show, and it did not pick up. Or you did, but my voice was not picked up. As usual, we had trouble broadcasting. And isn't that interesting as well, that last week my show was titled Bolshevik and Cyber Warfare. Richard and Rosemary and I did a show on that, on this very subject, but that was the last time I spoke to you, and I had not heard from you since. Now, I know sometimes you will take a break, and I won't hear from you for months. And even though I'll send you messages or try calling, I just think, oh, Mike's busy. Mike's doing what Mike does. But I was getting a little worried there because it's been about, what, 9-10 months since I heard from you. And then I just found out last week that you started doing your own shows again. And
I'm back doing broadcast, Mike Vril Sledge on YouTube. I've already got two strikes in less than a month. But I'm on BitChute and Mike Vril channel on the laughwalkstrike.podbean.com. I'm on Podbean as well. And I have a new website coming out that I'm working on, which should be out in the next week or two, which will have all my old shows and new shows on there, and live call-in shows. So I'm back. I couldn't take sitting around anymore watching this shit show without talking and being involved. It's hard. I mean, you try, the shows I did in the past, I felt like I said all there was to say, but you can never say enough in protecting our people, our culture, our heritage, and we're being genocided on a daily basis, and I cannot not speak out on that topic without feeling guilty and without feeling like there's blood in my hands, because I'm not defending our people. And so I'm back, and it's good to be back. And thank you for having me on your show.
Well, again, Mike, the pleasure really is all mine. And I've been wanting to do another show with you for so long, that, you know, to update you, because I haven't even spoken to you since that day before my birthday. And I don't even know if you even heard that last show I put together. It was about Bolshevism and cyber warfare is what it was really about. I can't remember the exact title I gave it, but basically what I did was I took the audio that picked up on your end and I opened up the show with it. And ever since then, I've been having the damnedest time keeping a website up, because if you remember, both of my websites were scrubbed. I started a new one. And everything seemed to be going well up until the past month, where it's been a slow process where I started republishing all the old shows as well as trying to keep up with the new ones. And just this past 2 weeks, the new website has now had about 5 of my republished articles taken back down, and a few of the shows have been taken back down. So it seems like it's a never-ending struggle with me.
I bought a new computer about a month and a half ago, and I went on your website, and I got a warning, a hate speech warning on my...
What?
Yeah. I tried to go to your site, the Hewitt House of Publications, and there was a warning that popped up. This site contains hate speech or whatever.
Are you serious? On my new one?
Yeah, on your new one. So, yeah.
There's nothing hateful on there. This is what I can't understand. They have to actually listen to two-hour shows. I've used code for the most part, so I'm not even using the standard white supremacist type language.
Well, that's on my last show, William, on my last show I put up on YouTube, and of course I'm on BitChute and I'm on Podbean, but my last show on YouTube I put up, I didn't say Jew or the N-word or anything like that, and I received a message. I mean, I did the whole show purposefully, following the code and community guidelines, and then I slipped up one time and said faggot, and my show was actually, they sent me a message saying, you have violated community guideline standards again by saying fag on your show. When I was talking about, it was actually Rolly Quaid on this network here that you're on, Revision Media, sent me a link about this gay drag show where they were having little kids dance around on the stage at some comic book store in Colorado, and I used the word fag, and they sent me, and I even joked on that broadcast how they'll probably ban me for making fun of pedophiles, and they did, and I got, I used the F word, the fag word, and I got my show received a strike on YouTube. So there you go. You can't see anything anymore,
right? That was your first show that was banned, right? On YouTube.
Well, this is my second strike on YouTube, so I'm now banned. I can't post anything for like 90 days.
Oh no, I asked because I want to make sure I understand correctly. Was that your first strike where you said fag, or was that your second?
No, that was my second strike. Yeah.
Okay. What was the first strike? Because I want to make sure I understand correctly. Didn't you say a show that you published that you and I have done in the past was also taken down from YouTube?
Well, that was the same show I'm talking about. I put in the second hour the Aryan spirituality show we did, and I put that as I replayed that in the second hour of my podcast on that show, which where we didn't say anything that was negative at all. It was about
right, but I think
Indo-Europeans and that alone. Kind
of... I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I think my name alone throws up red flags, because I'm telling you, and I'm not saying that to be arrogant or anything. I'm telling you, Mike, I cannot keep websites. I can't even keep articles, nothing up on the internet anymore, and it gets scrubbed. So I'm thinking, my name alone, again, not to sound arrogant, my name alone possibly could,
Well, I replayed, I reposted yesterday on my BitChute channel and YouTube, the show I did with Tom Metzger 6 years ago, and that show got like hundreds of views, like quickly, very, very rapidly. And then when I checked it again, it was down to like 10 views when it was up to like 500, 600 views. So they play around all the time with numbers and all this kind of shit. And so, I got that on BitChute now, which I think was a great interview, by the way. But,
I heard that. I remember that show.
Yeah. And so I reposted that as a... I'm going to do like a repost. I have all my old shows saved, and I'm going to repost classic Mike Sledge interviews and put them back out on my BitChute channel, my Podbean channel, and my new website coming up, which I will release in a couple days.
I have a show. I have a show of yours, which I don't know if you actually downloaded it from my old site. I don't think it was published anywhere except I luckily had it. David in Texas sent me a show you did that was not published on Renegade when you were at Renegade, and it was the Satan and Lucifer show. As far as I know, I'm the only one that's ever published that, and if you do not have it, I will send it to you. That, Mike, is one of the best shows I've ever heard in my life. So if you don't have that, let me know.
Yeah, I'm sure I have it. I have all the old Renegade shows on a
No, it's not on Renegade. Drive. You can't find find it on Renegade is what I'm saying. Yeah, no, it was not never published.
Wow, that's pretty interesting.
So David in Texas sent it to me one day about 4 years back in 2013. And yeah, he said that it was never published on Renegade, and I, as far as I know, I was the only one that had it. I published it on my old website, and of course it was taken down. So if you don't have it, let me know. I will send it, and I should probably just republish it again, because I'm telling you, it's one of the best shows I've ever heard.
Send that to me. I'm not even aware. I can't even remember of all the stuff I've done. So send that to me. Of course it has all the books. Yeah, the optics of that aren't good today, but
I'll
go ahead and send that to me. I'm interested. Well,
okay.
I'm, you know, there are certain things I did in the past on broadcasts I did that were truth and broadcasts, but that I think are, you know, probably bad optics today or whatever, but that's okay.
Well, no, basically all you did was get to the bottom of where Lucifer and Satan, like the concepts, came from. And
You
had done your homework, found out that it was Lucifer, some bishop, went against the church, and the church...
Oh, Lucifer Canutorius. Yes. The history of the Orthodox split from Catholicism. Was what it was about. I remember now. And, that was a very interesting show where basically, you know, Lucifer is not even mentioned, in biblical text, only in the King James version of the Bible. And that's, Jeremiah, Lucifer, oh, art thou fell from the sky like lightning, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But that basically was when the, Orthodox branch was rejected by the Catholic Church. Lucifer Canutorius was a bishop. It was actually a bishop named Lucifer who was expelled from the Catholic Church. And they named that became the evil, the great evil, because under the Byzantine Empire, he would not bow down to the Jews. So, and by the way, Satan... is a Hebrew word that simply means adversary in Hebrew, which means, and if you look in the Catholic dictionary, demon simply means all of the Gentile gods pre-Catholicism. So every deity or god that we revered as white people, as Aryans, prior to Catholicism, were deemed as demons. So Satan simply means adversary of the Jews, if you will. And all that's pretty interesting stuff. And a lot of that is lost today. And I think that that information is very important because, you know, you're not going to win the fight against these Jews if you don't understand their black magic, if you don't understand the system they use. And this is a spiritual war. It's not a political war. It's a spiritual war. It's a racial, spiritual war against our people. And to keep on propping up Jewish propaganda and religions that have all been created by the enemy, you're not going to be able to dig yourself out of the hole you're in. You're going to keep on digging yourself deeper in your own racial grave, because these people control your soul. They control your mind through spirituality. And Judaism really is not only a religion, but a magic spell, if you will, placed upon the goyim, the chattel class. And they've done it successfully. And I have to say that it's been perpetuated by our churches and religions that we've followed and fallen for over the years. And in order to break the yoke of Judaism, you have to understand how they control you through your so-called religion. And I hate to say this, I'm not trying to offend anybody, but Christianity is a controlled religion for the most part by the enemy. So anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, I can prove what you just said there, because as many of my listeners know, and I think you know as well, because I've told you, I've been studying alchemy for the past, 2 years now. And it's a very difficult subject because it's very deep in where it is written in like a coded language almost, right? And you have to understand not the surface level of the words, but the real meaning of the words. And to build on your show that you talked about Bishop Lucifer and Satan, I found out what really Satan and Lucifer is. And basically my findings is that Satan is your base animalistic raw energy. It's a raw sexual, okay? And the whole Kundalini process is to take that base energy, that animalistic energy, aka Satan, and to raise it up the spine until it gets to the crown chakra and becomes the light bearer or Lucifer. Lucifer is the light bearer, just as when Jesus became Christ in Revelation, where he also confessed to being the bright and morning star, Lucifer, just as that quote in Jeremiah that you made, how Lucifer fell from the sky. It's the same exact quote. But anyway, yes, Lucifer is your purified satanic energy, and it's done through the alchemical inner work or the...
This gets back to why the Jews created modern day Satanism. Anton LaVey, the Jew that
confirmed
the Church of Satan.
What I just told you.
They created a modern day version of Satanism, which really, is done on purpose to trick. Let me just say this. You hear all the time in Alex Jones Show, the Satanist and the Illuminati and all these people. Let me tell you, what's being called Satanism is really Judaism, okay? Sacrifices, blood libel, these kind of things are all done as Judaic sacrifices to their God Yahweh, okay? But they've used Satanism as a cover, and they've programmed... our people through the modern day Christian Zionist churches to, everything is satanic, which is a straw man, a fake enemy, when it really is Judaism behind missing children, satanic ritual abuse, all this. It should be called Judaic ritual abuse, because this is all done as part of Judaism, okay? But they created this new through Anton LaVey.
If you think of Satanism as your raw base sexual energy, though, if you think of it in that way, they teach us to, live in the degenerate realm. They push the pornography. They push all the filth, which in essence
they own the porno studios. They own all of the degeneracy they control. Hollywood, pornography. This is how they make their money, and this is their religion, okay? Our people, naturally, through natural law, are opposed to abusing of women, to the abusing of children. We have what's called a conscience inside us. The Aryan spirit has a conscience that that is so strong that the other races really don't have. And the Jews have no conscience at all. They have they will do whatever they need to do to stay in power, to exploit. They live in the flesh world. Yahweh is a fleshly god of riches, money, and fleshly power on this realm. And so anything opposed to materialism or fleshly power or the quest for the powers of the flesh is going to be deemed satanic by the Jew media because it is opposed to Judaism. It is the adversary of their fleshly material spells that they constantly try to put on us. And so, you know, European paganism and European spiritual beliefs prior to the construction of Christianity are all going to be, attacked by the enemy as satanic and demonic. Going back to the Catholic Encyclopedia, all of the Gentile gods are demons. So adversary,
Yes, and you mentioned the word pagan. Personally, I don't like the word pagan anymore.
I hate it.
In all honesty, all that it means is country dweller. Pagan, the Aryan Europeans during the time of Rome, who rejected going into Rome, a lot of the country dwellers were being forced to go into Rome, and they rejected it, and the Jew enemy called them pagans, which, I said, means country dweller. And, all it means, really, is those who live in the country.
Let me tell you something. I'm glad you brought that up, because the rural white person, the rural Aryan, white people have always been the farmers, the people that have brought sustenance to the table, food, crops, farming. We have ran that, and this is why the communists, while the Judaic left, has always been opposed to us. They hate rural Americans. They hate rural white people, regardless of what country they're in. Look at what Stalin did and the Jew Bolsheviks did in Russia after the Bolshevik Revolution. They starved out the agricultural rural people and killed them. The Ukrainian famine was a starvation. It was a genocide, a white genocide of the agricultural people. And they're doing the same thing in this country. Look at the Boer, where you're at in South Africa. These are farmers, agricultural, rural people. Look at what they're doing to the white farmer in America. I did an article a couple weeks ago on my news show where I said the average white American, middle American farmer in rural America is $3 to $4 million in debt, okay? And when they can't pay that debt and they can no longer pay their property tax, those properties will be confiscated and taken over by the federal government. They hate rural America, so they hate rural white people. We are connected to the earth. We are a race that is connected to the environment, to the planet, and they hate that. They are cosmopolitan merchant Jews who live in an industrialized society, and they want to completely destroy our old ways, our old spiritualism that's connected to the earth, our old right to the land. And this is a battle that's been going on for years, and thousands of years this conspiracy goes by. So,
now, put this in perspective here. Satan, right? Now, I'm going to read off a few words that I've just now written down. Since we're talking about Satan and paganism, right? How about these words here? Farmers, pitchforks, rednecks, sunburn. What's that make you think of? Satan, right? We have basically the farmer with the pitchfork, sunburned red. We have Satan or the devil is what? Red with the pitchfork, right?
Well, don't all forget don't forget the terminology that's been promoted by the Jew-controlled nation of Islam, the white devil, right?
Yeah, exactly.
The white devil.
Who is Satan?
Yeah.
The white farmer who's sunburned with the pitchfork. Or you can think of the pirates with their trident on the high seas, sun beat red, right? This is the Jew Satan. It's the Aryan man or the white devil, yes.
They hate blood in the face. And the original way of determining whether someone was an Aryan or not was you'd slap them in the face, and if the blood rose in their face and you could see them blush, you would say they are the Aryan bloodline. And it was called blood in the face.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing today. That's why the devil is portrayed as red. That's why everything... by the way, the GOP, the Republican Party, is red states, right? They use this terminology. They twist it, but they use it because it's very important. It's an escape valve for white America. They're voting and participating in a political movement that's controlled by the Jews, where they use terminologies and that kind of disparaging remarks to keep them in line, to keep them under control. Red states. Flyover country. Agricultural. Rhinelander America.
Yep.
Okay?
It also makes sense if you think about it in this way, where you have the neocons, or basically the old liberals, out of the Frankfurt School in Chicago, and this is now the neocons are the old communists, the red, and communism.
Well,
so that's another
thing. Let's not forget the Red Scare. They, the Jews on Wall Street, Anthony Sutton had a great book, how he talked about how the Bolshevik Revolution was financed by a Judaic capitalism for the purpose of controlling, for the purpose of creating a bipolar system where two countries could control the resources, and then Israel would be their third proxy, and that was communism. And Anthony Sutton's book, how the Bolsheviks funded, how Wall Street funded the Bolshevik Revolution, is an amazing book. Capitalism is the Judaic engine that creates communism, that creates the Judaic economic system. And they hate, it's okay to have black socialism or a socialism like we have in this country, democratic socialism, where you fund the groids and all this kind of thing and you give welfare out, as long as the white person, their true adversary, their true enemy, is being deprived of resource. They hate what Germany created, a national socialism, which was the true white working class economic program that totally got rid of usury and that totally created a system that they, to this day, will never stop railing against, because it was, you know, the only system that challenged their authority, that challenged their power. They hate it to this day. This is a never-ending battle, a never-ending war taking place against us that is very important to understand. You know, this country was actually my last broadcast, William. I did a show on how I said, and I'm going to stand by this, how, the United States used to be called the plantations, okay? British mercantilism. The elite, the Jews took over the British system going back to Cromwell years ago, and British mercantilism took over the British Empire, and they controlled what they, the United States used to be called the plantations by the British mercantile class. And
the state. Which is another word for plantations.
Yes, exactly. The colonies, we control. So what they did was the white people that conquered and built up the colonies, the plantations, were the original slaves in America, okay? And they were then replaced by the British mercantile class. They were replaced by black slaves because, you know, the white slaves working on the Oive plantations had critical thinking, and they were beginning to challenge the Oive British mercantile slave masters. And so they actually brought in the black slaves to displace the original white slaves of the plantations in the United States. And this is continuing today through NAFTA, through GATT, through free trade agreements. The second displacement of the white working class through NAFTA by bringing in the Mexicans and all these third world populations, the replacement of the white working class is the same replacement that they did 300 years ago with slavery. Okay. And nothing has changed. This is okay.
Yeah. I wanted to say, Mike, excuse me. I really get upset when I hear people talk about how colonialism was Aryan, or it was white people.
It was not Aryan at all. No, it was fucking Jewish British mercantilism that was disguised as Aryan. They always blame us for their crimes.
Well,
we do not believe, our people do not believe in enslaving anybody, okay? We simply want our own lands, our own nations, our own people to be free. And we want everybody to be free. And giving the ability for everyone to be free, we can coexist. But the bottom line is the Oives, the Jewish power structure, disguises themselves as white people, and then they blame their crimes on our race at the same time they're enslaving and destroying it. It's a diabolical spiritual.
And they use us to build up. No, I'm sorry, Mike. I think we had I can't think. A delay. Anyway, the Jews, because they appear white to the untrained eye, they use us as the slaves to build up these colonies. Even though we really don't benefit from it financially. And it's the same thing that happened here in South Africa as it did in America. And this is what the Boer Republics were all about. Once the Boers discovered gold and diamonds in South Africa, this is when the Boer war started, because of the Jews, the Yiddish British could not let these Germanic Boers have this land that they already had deemed their republics. They could not allow them to have these natural resources.
This, well, what did they do?
Why the Boers?
The Germanic
and
Boers.
We've never owned it.
Right. The Germanic Boers industrialize and make South Africa a beautiful place. And then through colonialism, through British, Judaic, Yiddish, British Israelism, they take over.
Yeah, it is.
They then oppress through apartheid, and then they blame it on white people, and then they undercut the white people in the South Africa, and they leave, and they turn it over to black fucking controlled opposition who they control. And then they start genociding the white people in South Africa, the Boers. So this is the same thing they're doing in America right now. Okay?
Yep. You just summed it up in 15 seconds. That's exactly what happened, Mike.
They do it over and over and over again.
All
and
you have
they're
to
doing
do
it right now.
At where there are. All you have to do, Mike, if you want to understand this, is look on the map. Look wherever there are mixed race colored people. This is what they've done in South Africa. This is what they're doing in America. They always bring in the non-whites to miscegenate with the Aryans, and what you have left over are mixed race people. This is evident in Egypt. This is evident in South America, like Peru, Brazil. Everywhere you go, it was an Aryan nation that Aryans built up, and then the Jew always brings in the non-whites.
They do this over and over and over again, and they use, in our name, they then use colonialism, New World Order, their expansion of their free trade, capitalism, constitution. They use this to then destroy and kill and murder races all over the world, and they blame it on us. And meanwhile, they hide behind the shadows, and we take the fall for their crimes. And I'm saying today on this broadcast, William.
And then when people like you and I stand up against it, we're the racists and we're the anti-Semites. Boy, they.
Oh, yeah.
It's getting old.
We're the racists. Yeah. We're the ones that want to, the truth be told, if we had our way and we were in power, there would be no mass murder of other races. We would let people exist in their own nations and their own lands in peace, and we would have our own nations and our lands in peace with no reason to try to dominate over other people as a resource, as a human resource, because that's a Judaic concept. The Aryan way of self-preservation and loving of life is a non colonialist mindset. It is the true way of peace, the true way of love, the true way. And they've subverted and destroyed everything, man. And it's mind-boggling, even to me to this day, man.
Well, a lot of people are catching on, understanding. You know, I always say I am a separatist. I desire to be left alone with my race so that we can prosper and reach our potential and destiny as an Aryan race, just as I want to see the other races prosper and reach their destiny. But for some reason, this separatism has become a dirty word and compared to supremacism. I'm not a supremacist. I don't want to lord over, oppress, or enslave anybody. This is what the Jew does. And as soon as I call out that is the Jewish way, not the Aryan way, well, next thing you know, I'm scrubbed everywhere from the internet.
Oh, yeah.
Getting old.
Exactly.
I don't know how
they want you. The only way to exist on Jew media as a white person is to promote their Judaic white nationalist, white supremacist meme, their American History of X, their romper stomper meme of these morons who are tatted up and ridiculous and nigger and all this shit and going out and committing fucking crimes, acting like animals. This is the white supremacism they promote. Meanwhile, real Aryan ways, real Aryan beliefs, real Aryan people would never do that or act like that. We don't have it in our DNA. We do not have that. And by the way, that is our one major weakness, by the way, is that we have have a conscience and we care for other people. And they use this as a weapon to keep us down because they know that our number one weakness is that we actually do care for other people. We do care for other races and that kind of thing. And they know that because we are caring people. Our souls are very loving. And they use this. The Jews tweak this weakness of ours, and they use it against us over and over again. And they've been successful. What can I say? They have no soul. Our enemy has no conscience. They are a fucking demonic fucking entity.
Absolutely. This is why I, in a way, since I've not been online as much lately for the various reasons, I've done a lot of thinking. And I had a few conversations with my good friend Tien's Quota from Borfolk Radio. And him and I have discussed now, this has been at least a year conversation and going, where he has this idea of really changing our tactics. And this sense of changing our tactics is to reach out to the non-whites who have a nationalistic sense of identity. And in the past, I think I was kind of really not so for that because I thought, well, if I associate with non-whites, then people are going to think that, love other races more than I love my race, or they'll wait to call me an anti-white, right? But no, I've been in this time, and I started doing this. Yeah. I'm reaching out to the few people.
Well,
for instance, I have a lot of Indian listeners. I've been reaching out to them lately, trying to get them on the path of nationalism, because they keep reaching out to me because they have the same problem we do, the Jew.
Yeah.
And so why not work? Not live with, why not work with other races?
This is the, look, our past leaders who were killed and assassinated by the Jew tried to do this. George Lincoln Rockwell reached out to other races. Tom Metzger, who I just reposted, used to get standing ovations at the Black Panther and Nation of Islam meetings that he was invited to. There is nothing wrong with that. We're all trying to live on this fucking rock. But the bottom line is that 1%, you know, the Jews are like 1% or 2% of the global population, and their whole game is dividing everybody up to attack each other. The chattel killing each other is their goal. And they don't want any type of negotiation or any type of a deal reached between other races against them. They want to keep us divided, so we're killing each other on their Oy Vey global plantation.
And that's what they do.
So they can.
They work with the other races, so I can't win.
Exactly.
They work with the other races against us, so that's the problem.
Exactly. But unfortunately, when you're dealing with some of these other races, you're dealing with double-digit IQs with no critical thinking that can't figure shit out. So,
well, that's
good
luck how the Jews are able to run a muscle on them. Yeah, how the Jews are able to kill them.
I know. But, you know, I'm more interested in, I think the biggest enemy that we face as a people, as a race, is our own people, are the charlatans that we face in the so-called white religious community, is the charlatans that we face at our workplace, people who will, our own people that will sell us out for shekels to move up the Oy Vey corporate ladder to promote their fake spiritual beliefs. We are, our biggest enemy really is ourselves, because they have brainwashed through Christian Zionism and their system. They have brainwashed our own people into believing. You know, I talked to there's a friend of mine I work with who's a redneck guy who, hell, I'm a redneck, okay? I'm not ashamed to admit it. But I work with someone who I talk to all the time, who I'm slowly, bringing along into these ideas, and he's starting to see the light. But, you know, we go out to breakfast after work, and he goes, man, this the Democrats are going after Israel, and Israel this, and we got to protect Israel. What the fuck are you protecting Israel for? These people want to see you fucking dead. You are their adversary, and this is the brainwashing. So, as long as we have a majority or a plurality of our race drinking the Jim June's Jewish Kool-Aid of Zionism, we're never going to get anywhere. And their religions and their fake spirituality, by the way, this is very important to understand. They created mostly the religion that most white people believe in as a weaker form of their own religion to keep them trapped in spiritual enslavement, where they'll never be able to get out of. And they'll never be able to counterattack the rabbis, the rebbes, who use black magic against them, because they're trapped in a black magic spell. This is important shit that nobody's talking about.
You're absolutely right, because Jews will never turn on one another, even if they are enemies. So if you apply that to, for instance, love thy enemy and turn the other cheek, if Jews follow that philosophy, they only mean it to love thy other Jew or turn the other cheek against the other, you know what I mean? Like, to love other Jews even if they wrong you. But the Christians take that concept onto loving other races and loving their enemies who are other, no, I mean, not racially tied to them, is what I'm trying to say. Does that make sense?
Yes.
The Jews will love their own, and they teach us
they created,
to love everybody.
They created modern-day Christian Zionism turn the other cheek, love your enemy, for us to believe, the chattel to believe, the goyim to believe, while they, in their Talmudic fate and their black magic fate, they hate us. They never turn the other cheek. They will never quit until the enemy, their adversary, is totally destroyed. And so, you know, as long as this
turn
is,
their cheek when it comes to Jews,
we will continually lose, William, we will continually lose this battle as long as we keep believing and praying to their gods, to their energy, to their practices, spiritual practices. We have sold our souls on the altar of Judaism, and until we break that black magic spell, we will never be free, and we will never, ever be able to break the yoke of their control.
Absolutely. And this is what a lot of the shows you and I have done in the past, we've touched on. And I love talking about this with you because it seems like every show we have a better understanding and we keep building upon. One of these days we're going to get it so that everybody will understand. This is the key, well, as you said many times.
You
said this so many times.
One day, and that day is quickly approaching. More and more people are waking up. The level of their propaganda now, you know, the reason that they had to put someone in there like a Donald Trump figure is because they have to at least pretend to be doing something, you know, that's white nationalistic in nature, pretending to be racialist, even though he's a total fraud. They have to fake it now. They have to, you know, Barack Obama, you know, was the multicultural black president figure. They knew that that had run its course and there was the backlash, so they had to put in this fake kike Trump as a way of disguising it. And that's a good thing, by the way, because it only means that we are getting closer and closer for that Jewish smokescreen, that Jewish smoke and mirror funhouse, kike house, a mirror display, house of mirrors being broken and shattered. And the true Aryan spirit and the true Aryan nationalism is going to rise again. And that day is quickly approaching. And I'm proud to be, I'm honored to be alive today. There is no other time in history that I would want to be alive in. You are witnessing right now a very important time in history. And this is the battle of all battles. This is the epic battle that we're in right now. And, you know, this is for all the marbles, folks. This is for your soul. This is not about the Constitution. This is not about property rights or Second Amendment rights. This is literally a fight for the Aryan spirit and the Aryan soul. And those that understand that can take from it what they will. But
that's all there is to it. That's all there is to it. Yep. And Trump being a so-called white nationalist, I laugh, but then I'm angry at the same time because so many people believe this. Again, it is the Jew perpetuating his crime onto our race. There's nothing
but
white
that
nationalist
is why,
about Donald
Trump. Yes. And that is why I supported him as a candidate in 2015. This is why I wanted him to get elected, because I knew this was going to happen. I knew this was a fake fucking thing. But sometimes the best way for to break through to the other side of Aryan spiritualism is to allow the enemy at your own table to take over, because that brings more people to our cause than anything else. And this is the last time the Donald Blump, the orange man, chump presidency, and I'm saying this right here on your show, William, is the last time that the white race, that the Aryan people will be fooled. Because enough is enough. I was reading an article, and I wanted to bring this up to you, to your attention. Drudge had an article yesterday. Okay? 109 counties are now, have now in the last, since the year 2000, have become majority non-white. Now, why do I find that article funny, William? is because 109 counties have become a majority non-white since 2000. Wow. 109 countries are how many the Jews have been expelled from.
Yes.
And this is a Talmudic fucking news report they're putting into the media to gloat over. We've been kicked out of 109 countries, and now we've made 109 counties lazy, fucking non-white.
Hey.
So this is their... And until you understand how they operate, you'll never understand. Sure. But I saw the article, and
that's
I immediately thought about it. I said, dude, this is fucking hilarious.
That's a brilliant observation. As soon as I caught it halfway through when you were telling me, I knew. Wow. See, that's how they use their magic number, too. No, if you're talking about their Jewish magic spells, that's part of how they do it, with numbers.
Oh, yeah, of course. The numbers, the Jew numbers. They love the numbers, the Kabbalah numbers. 109, we were kicked out of 100 countries. Now we've turned 109 counties in the United States of America into non-white. I think it's fucking hilarious. But that is...
For those of us who can... That is amazing.
So there you go. So this is the battle. And only when you know the information and understand the research can you truly understand the war. This is a psychological warfare being perpetrated against you, spiritual warfare being perpetrated against you. Politics is absolutely nothing. Politics is a waste of time. They have their puppets through the Jeffrey Epstein Mossad blackmail ring, all fucking kids and engaged in pedophilia to be easily blackmailed. Those are the people they put in power because they can be easily controlled. That's all that was. Politics is a joke.
Also, though,
your true power is spirituality.
Yes.
Go ahead.
But
I'm
they're
sorry.
Also
I'm sorry,
used
Lee.
By... No, you're absolutely correct. I was just saying, though, that they're also used because then once they're convicted, the people will go
conservatives,
back to
convicted conservatives. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, the people go back to sleep, so they think the problem has been dealt with. But you and I know that pederasty and the drinking of Aryan children's blood is nothing stopped, nothing's changed because Epstein has been killed or killed himself or put in prison.
Yeah.
It's business as usual.
This is how they try to stay young. This is their energy. This is blood libel. This goes back to the very beginning of Moloch and the whole concept of their pederasty and pedophilia is not really a sexual act as much as it is an energy. A way to steal energy off of young people, to take their souls and their energy so they can have life extension. This is what they believe. This is actually what they're doing. It's a sexual vampirism in a way, which has nothing to do with really the sexual act as much as it does the religious and spiritual belief that they undertake. Have to consume. And why do you think they sold us a religion, William? Why do you think they sold us a religion where our people have to partake in a blood-drinking ritual? Okay?
Yes, absolutely. Yes, Mike. Thank you. And how is it that, when I was growing up in the late 70s and the early 80s with all these white children and white women on the milk cartons, none of them ever found. How come... We were never told. How come I was never told? How come this is not common knowledge of the reason why these white children and young women are being kidnapped? Why? How come nobody ever made it known that we're being kidnapped so that they can harvest our blood? How come no one ever told us that? To me, they scare you. Oh, be careful. You're going to get kidnapped. But they don't tell you why you're being kidnapped. you know, I don't do
blood libel. And this goes back to all you have to do is read the European text and documents and stories that were passed down from thousands of years ago of when these people started coming into Europe. Their kids started to be missing, and they would find their kids. Yep.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. If my parents would have told me, be careful, there's some vampires, otherwise known as Jews, who want to drink your blood, if they would have told me that, I would have been a lot more awake. And I wasn't afraid of being kidnapped. But if they would have told me, yeah, some Jew wants to take you away and drink your blood, I think I would have been taking that advice a lot more seriously, you know? And I think our children, in general, would be more awake if we told them that at an early age. Instead of warning them about being kidnapped, we should be telling them, yes, there's people out there that want to drink and harvest your blood.
Well, hey, William, can I take a little break? Is there any way to take a little break?
That's fine. Go ahead, Mike.
Are you a corporation with enemies? Not to worry. We have a production company that is in with all the latest trends and fashions to address all of your corporate needs. Do you have a peer that is vying for the same job you were vying for in a ladder of success? Not to worry. The Central Intelligence Agency is here for you. We have TSA, law enforcement, sheriffs, NSA, etc. all within our control under our authority since the 1947 National Security Act. Are you having troubles with a surety that is continuously fighting for his children in court and will not let them go solely to their mother? We can drum up human agents, signet services, all related products at your service by which to easily criminalize this character. If you are a corporation and involved in child, female, and or male trafficking, you need a ringer on your side, contact us today. We're the CIA, turning your dreams into reality. Disclaimer, solely a creation of Congress through congressional actions, the CIA does not take any accountability whatsoever for its actions or that of its actors and or agents.
Rose clouds of Holocaust. Rose clouds of flies. Clouds of bitter, bitter, bitter lies. When the angels of ignorance fall down from your eyes. Rose clouds of Holocaust, rose clouds of lies. Rose clouds of twilight truth, rose clouds of night. Rose clouds of harvested love all alight. When the ashes of life fall down from the skies. Rose clouds of Holocaust, rose clouds of lies. Festivals end as festivals must. From the hooded crows of Rome to the falcons of Zagreb, mother victim of Jesus, lie down in Sydney's dust. For festivals end as festivals must. Rose clouds of Holocaust, rose clouds of flies. Rose clouds of bitter, bitter, bitter lies. When the angels of ignorance fall down from our eyes. Rose clouds of Holocaust, rose clouds of lies. Rose clouds of Holocaust, rose clouds of lies. Clouds of Holocaust, rose clouds of lies. Rose clouds of Holocaust, rose. rose clouds of Holocaust, rose clouds of lies.
Mike, good to have you back for hour two. Yeah, I think that was an interesting talk we had there. You know, I think whenever you and I, all we have to do is get on the phone and start talking, I think that makes for some great radio. We did not plan that talk, and yeah, I think we shed a lot of light.
Well, you know, I think that the spiritual enslavement of our people is our number one problem that we have. They've put us under a black magic spell. And, you know, politics, there is no political solution. There is only a spiritual solution to break out of this, and is to understand the spiritual mind of the enemy. And without that knowledge and understanding, you will be perpetually trapped in this fight with no solution to infinity. And this is where they have us, and we're against the wall. And so, but I do believe that the day is quickly approaching where we will break those chains of spiritual enslavement, and we will be able to truly have our Aryan system in place once again. Remember, I keep hearing people talk about we're becoming the minority and all this. We don't need to be the majority on the planet. We, you know, look at the enemy we face now. The Jewish control grid, they're only 1 or 2% of the global population, and they run it. Okay, so this idea that we're being wiped out through numbers is not that really a big of a deal. All it takes is 1% or 2% of the population to fight these people who are in agreement on a spiritual level, who are ready to break the chains of the enslavement and to go against their system. And I think that day is quickly approaching, and it's great to be alive. I mean, I'm witnessing this that we're living in right now is that we're on the verge of a new renaissance, folks. Don't give up hope. You know, the way that life works is when you think that it's all over and you're hanging on the edge of the cliff and you're just trying to stay from falling, and you're knuckling the edge of the hill into oblivion, at that last point is when a true revolution will take place. And I believe that we're living into that time now. That is why they're censoring, they're attacking, because they know they're losing power. They're losing their black magic spiritual spell of white enslavement is not working anymore. It's losing power each and every day. And it is an honor to be alive today to witness their death throes of their ridiculous bullshit and their propaganda. And I would not want to be alive in any other time. I mean, this is the battle. I mean, you are alive not to make shekels at a corporate job or some transnational corporation to become a manager or work your way up the ladder of oy vey economic power. Your true purpose in life is to be victorious over the enemy, and that is the only thing that matters. And I thank God each and every day that I'm alive, because go ahead, sir.
I think this is why they have been ramping up the false flag events because the last thing that has to happen in order for us to free ourselves is for us to take action. And I know, because I've actually done a survey of my own on an old website, asking my folk, our folk, what keeps them from actually standing up to our enemy? And do you know that most of the responses in the survey poll that I created was that they're afraid to go to prison? If we can somehow level the playing field to where we could actually make a stand physically, and I'm not even going to say that, never mind. I'm saying, yes, we must make a stand physically.
Hell, most people in this movement are afraid of being doxxed and losing their fucking oy vey job.
That too, yeah. But really,
know,
that's
is...
what's keeping me is the prison. What good am I going to be in prison?
Well,
and we have to figure out a way to level the playing field so that we can, you know, they're killing us, they're committing crimes and blaming it on us. We don't even have to commit the crimes anymore. They're blaming us for shit they do or don't do, if it even happens in the first place. You know, like the synagogue shootings. They don't even happen. And yet we're being blamed for it. And it's real people wanting to do something about it.
According to their own, William, according to their own words, you know, they love anti-Semitism. They must create and foment anti-Semitism everywhere. Oh! They're always the victim.
All right,
they're always the victim.
The word.
And they have to create crimes where they can be the victim on a regular basis, because that's the only way they can stay in power. If they lose their victim status, they're no longer relevant and they're no longer in power. And this passive-aggressive black magic spirituality that they use is what's running this world right now. I mean, and this black magic Judaic spirituality not only is used in the political form, but it's been used and weaponized against our people on a relationship level on a fucking daily basis. The feminist movement was the way of creating a Judaic feminism, a Judaic passive-aggressive movement where they could make us... Okay, yeah, to destroy the family. Because remember, the only institution that really matters, in the Aryan world is the family structure. Without a family structure, we become degenerates, we become slaves, we become chattel. And they've broken that up, and they've destroyed our minds, they've destroyed our family structures, they've destroyed our relationships, they've promoted pornography, they've promoted every type of degenerate behavior that, you know, I get sick at my stomach. I know white people that I work with, for instance, that they go on these porno sites, and it disgusts me. I mean, it's just, you know, the level of depravity that they pushed and that's entered our community and our people is disgusting. And that is the way they control us. When you become a depraved mind, when you become a reprobate, when you become a degenerate, then you are a useful idiot. And you become nothing more than a cog in the wheel of your own destruction. And that's what they've been able to do, and they've been successful at it. And they push their drugs, their pornography, we have been raped spiritually, on a level that is mind-boggling now.
Yeah, through our actions, actually. This is how they kill us spiritually, is by playing at our emotions and through our depravity.
Remember, you have to be in agreement. In order for their black magic to work, you have to agree to it. And that is why they do predictive programming. That is why they tell you what they're going to do to you before they do it, so you can agree to their concept. Remember, black magic, Judaic black magic only works when there's an agreement. And this goes back to science. The mind is a powerful instrument and a powerful tool. And when there are many people, when there are millions and thousands of people connected on the same wavelength of thinking who are in agreement, this is why people say, oh, I survived cancer through the power of prayer. Well, yeah, you did, in a way, because prayer means that there's a commitment by millions of people or thousands of people all using their energy toward an outcome, okay? And this is what the Judaic black magic relies on. They need your cooperation. They need you to be in agreement with their black magic spells. When millions of people put their energy and direct their energy toward a goal, then it becomes reality because it manifests as reality through their black magic spells. Remember, magic only works when there's an agreement. There has to be a contract, okay? There has to be a contract between the person doing the spell and the subject of the spell. There has to be an agreement. You allow this into your life. You allow this into your country. You allow this evil into your existence. We have given them permission.
Consenting to the contract.
Yes. We have given them permission to fuck us beyond belief. And we have allowed them, through contract law, through spiritual agreement, through black magic spells, we have allowed them to take over. We have given them the authority. We have relinquished our own responsibilities. And when you do that, you become a servant. You become a slave class. You become a slave race. You become chattel. You become goyim. And this is what we have done to our race, our people. We have signed a contract with the Oy Veys that have perpetuated our own destruction.
Well, we've had help through the breaking down of the family, though. This is what they've done. So now we don't have the tight families to help one another anymore and to keep each other in check. Yeah, they've covered us. They've got us from every flipping angle, Mike. They really have done it a number.
When you no longer have a father or a mother in the nuclear family, then the state becomes your father. The state becomes your mother.
Right.
This was the key to Bolshevism. This was the key to international communism. And by the way, international communism is merely just Judaism put in political form. If you read the Judaic laws, the Judaic statements from the World Zionist Congress back in the 20s, they admit that communism is basically Judaism put into political practice. Communism is basically Judaism put into reality, into political form. Okay, that's all it is. That's all it is. They took away your God and replaced it with their God. Atheism is Judaism. Atheism is the belief in nothing, but it's the belief in being submissive to the will of the hierarchy, of the hive mentality. And they assumed the position as the leaders of the hive, and they've made you subject to their will. And you have willingly allowed them to take control of your life politically, spiritually, economically, so on and so forth. And until you break that spell, you will never be free. You will never be free. Sorry, William. I didn't mean to go on.
No, that was perfect, because you set me up for what I was going to say. Is they have done this at birth. You know, a few months ago, I did a show. It was about straw man, right? Now, I know people roll their eyes when they hear this, but, you know, I think I connected the dots very well. And For example, when I say they've done this to us at birth, well, you know, when you're, for example, when your parents sign a birth certificate, in essence, what they're doing is giving you away to the state. So really,
yes, you became an equity on the stock market. You become a human resource. You become a trade. You become traded on the stock options market. Okay. Your social security number, you are a number traded as a human resource. That's why these corporations, these Oy Vey corporations, changed it from employee relations to human resource. You are a resource. And what do they do with resources? They extract it, they use it, and they kill it, and they burn it, and they use it for the perpetuation of their fucking immorality. And you are a human resource. You are being extracted. You are being used and sold on the plantation, on the slave market, on the goyim slave market as a human resource. I'm sorry, William. Go ahead.
Keep going, man, because that's exactly what I was going to say. And, you know, I used to think, oh, how sweet. You know, they put these births in the news, you know, whenever parents have a child. Oh, now they have it there so that everybody can see that mommy and daddy had a child. Wrong. You're there. Your name is in the newspaper because you are now unclaimed stock. And that is
Exactly. You are being sold on the slave block, on the global market of slave trading as a human resource. Your social security number when you're born is the number that you're being used to be traded on the Oy Vey, the real concentration camp. The real concentration camp of white genocide.
That's what an obituary is, too. Now they're saying that, you know, that stock is now dead. It's not a nice thing to do to let your family or any of your friends to know that you passed away. No, it's a business document, if you will. Claiming that you're now dead, a dead commodity. So,
the obituary is, you're exactly right. That is, you're born with a number, a Jew number, your social security number, and you die. Your obituary is, you know, my dad passed away a couple years ago, and I remember going to the funeral home and all this money we had to come up with just to cremate him. I mean, it was ridiculous. It's like, you can't even fucking... You know, in order to really be put into the Jew oven, you have to have like six grand, seven grand, whatever. So, and they control the funeral homes, by the way, the funeral homes. And and I remember going in there and they're like, well,
my wife died. When my wife died, I don't even know if they put her body in. I don't even know if they put her body in the coffin that we bought. I can't prove it.
Hey, William, I tell people all the time, I'm going to live forever because I can't afford to die in the Jewish economic system.
Yeah,
I don't have enough money to die. I don't have enough money to die, folks. I'm going to live forever. The true life extension technology is goyim life. I can't afford to pay for my own cremation. I guess I'll have to live forever. These fucking bastards, I swear to God.
I know. Yes,
I mean, it's funny when you think
about it.
I can't afford to die, folks. Forget about the life extension technology, the goyim, the chattel. We have to stay alive because we can't afford to pay for our own fucking funeral, folks. This is how sick and... I mean, so anyway.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, man, I think this has ran its course, dude. So,
what the show?
Thanks for having me on your show. Yeah.
Really? You want to end
it
now? There's nothing else you want to talk about.
No, let's go on longer.
Talk
go
about
ahead.
Anything you want.
Go ahead.
Well, we can
bring up a.
All right. Well, no. I was even before we went or before we ended the show, which, you know, we still have another half hour if you want to go. But
okay, let's do it.
Tomorrow,
let's do it, man. Let's do it.
Well, hey, why don't we talk about your new website? And hopefully, you know, you and I had planned to get this going last year? A new website?
Well, I was a little bit delayed. I was a little bit delayed through problems in life that I had to deal with. I mean, nothing bad, but just, economics, life, family, that kind of thing. And so I had to deal with stuff and get behind me. But, yeah, what we talked about last year is actually happening now. I do have a new website that I'm going to be revealing in the next couple of days. But for now, you can find me at thelaughwathastrike.podbean.com on Podbean. I have a show there. And you can find me at BitChute, Mike Vril channel, Mike Vril channel on BitChute. And you can find me on YouTube. For now, I have two strikes, so I can't post anything. But you can find me, Mike Vril channel on YouTube, Laugh Off a Strike. That's my new show, The Laugh Off a Strike, because, we live in clown world and we live in a Jewish circus. And so my new show, I came up with the idea called The Laughwaffe Strike, like the Luftwaffe, the Laughwaffe. The Laughwaffe is the Air Force that carpet bombs and decimates clown world on a daily basis with me, Mike Vril, using only the best German technology from Antarctica, from stolen Nazi gold and Black Pope money. So that was my whole...
I think it's safe to say, and I am honored, you asked me to be on your show tomorrow.
Yes, you will be my first guest tomorrow.
I have never been a guest on a Mike Slegg show. Now, I've been a caller to many of them back in the day, but I've never been a guest. And,
well, you're going
I'm
to be
honored.
My first guest. You're going to be my first honorary Aryan podcaster on the Laughwaffe Strike tomorrow. So we're going to record that in the morning, and you are going to be a guest on Laughwaffe Strike, and I'll put that up on the BitChute and the Podbean.com, laughwaffestrike.podbean.com, Mike Vril channel, BitChute. I love BitChute, by the way. It's great. I've met a lot of good people on BitChute, by the way.
I actually just signed up just to get the site, so I've never been on it before.
I love the site. I love BitChute. I've met people on BitChute that used to listen to the old broadcast and Oracle and Renegade going back a long time ago were banned on YouTube. And it's great to reconnect with a lot of people. It's a great fucking site. I love BitChute. So.
Pardon me, gentlemen. You have a caller on the line.
Oh, I was just going to say
caller.
That. Mike, you want to take any calls? Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Let's take the call.
Okay.
Who is this guy?
This is Mr. Rolly Quaid. How are you gentlemen doing? Hey, Mike Sludge.
Hey, man. How you
Rolly,
doing?
Rolly, thanks for calling us.
Hey, listen. You touched on it a little bit at the beginning of the show. This all-age drag show that's been going on. Man, the code of a man is to make a stand against pedophilia. And me and my crew have been down there. We were attacked. I wasn't personally there, but I'm coming to the next event coming up. And Antifa is in full effect in riot gear. And they slashed the guy's tires that were there at the event this weekend while they were protesting.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't
surprise me at all, man. Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
Pedophilia is their religion. Judaism is pedophilia. Their whole religion, let me tell you, communism... when they created the Bolshevik Revolution, they had these pedophiles in power. As a matter of fact, Beria was the advisor to Stalin, who was a pedophile, who actually ended up raping Stalin's own child, and that's why he was killed. So at the heart of their blood libel lifestyle is pedophilia. So to stand up against their pedophilia behavior is to literally deconstruct and to stand up against their whole fucking system.
Pardon me, gentlemen. You have another caller on the line as well. No.
Okay.
Okay.
Hey, hello. Can you guys hear me?
Well, stay on the line. Next caller. Name or handle, please.
I'm in Connecticut speaking to Just calling in to say hi to Mike.
Hey, Tom!
Hey, bro!
Yo! Tom. Hey, what's
Tom,
going on,
I recognize
brother? Are you doing
your
okay?
Voice. Dude, it's great to hear you. It's great to hear
it's
you.
Great to hear from you, man. Dude, you got to freaking get in touch with me, man. This is awesome.
You know what? I've got plans, and you know what? You guys are doing awesome. You guys are doing awesome. Oh, my gosh. This is fantastic. This is fantastic.
Hey,
so
Tom.
You still there?
Yeah. Yeah, man.
Yeah, I'm still here. Rolly Quaitis.
Good, dude. No, go ahead. Who was saying who called me?
No, hey, Tom. I'm William DeHewitt. I've never spoken to you before, all right?
Yeah.
But I've listened to you now going back to 2013 or 14 on Renegade, and those shows you did, you did quite a few shows, and I've always wanted to speak to you, and it's a pleasure. Thank you for calling in, man.
Well, you're doing it now, bro. But you know what? You've got the crown jewel right in front of you, Mike Sledge.
That's right.
I remember when Tom, I remember when you would do the rock and roll parodies with the Jew shit, you know? and you know, another took your idea from that, and they told... Yeah, they totally, like Van Halen, ain't talking about Jews! Na-na-na-na, you know?
Yeah.
And I had a new one, Tom, that you ought to do. It's, you remember Saga, Tonight We're On the Loose?
Yeah.
I had an idea for a song. It was a... No one can stop us now. Tonight we gas the Jews. But anyway, that would be a great song for you.
Mike, I had to have told you the songs that I thought of. Oh, I'll have to tell you offline. The Jew Light Up My Life.
From...
By, no, go ahead.
Yeah. But Tom, I mean, you know, the stuff we used to do back in the day, man, was like way ahead of its time. And now there's other sites. I'm not trying to bash anybody, but hell, they've taken the ideas we had back in the day and they've really made it work. And it's just great to hear from you, brother.
We can do better, bro. I'm telling you, we can do better.
Well, let's
you know
do
what?
It.
I've got a lot
let's
of, other,
do it.
I've got, let's go. And I've got a lot of, you know what, Raleigh, maybe you can fill in a little bit about some of the ideas I've shared with Raleigh here about, but long story short, I recognized Raleigh as, kind of having a unique intellect, and the fact that he's got some of the challenges that he has actually, I think it really turns into an advantage, you know, when it comes down to detecting deception. People like him, they don't have the same kind of cognition that we do. And frankly, Raleigh's got the same kind of cognition that Henry Ford had.
Yep.
You know, these guys are a little bit wired a little bit differently. And you know what? I think it's actually an advantage and it's certainly a resource we can tap into. But you know what, dude? I've got so many ideas and so many things I've developed since we did all that. That dude, you got to see. And I'm telling you, I really think the time is right.
Hey, Tom, email me at the laughwaffastrike@gmail.com. Okay.
How do I spell that? Because I don't want to laugh. What? Laugh off a what?
The Laugh Waffa Strike is my new show. The Laugh Waffa Strike at gmail.com is my email for the show, and
L-A-U-G-H.
I'll communicate with you.
L
A U G H. Yeah. Yeah. The Laugh Waffa Strike. This
Wait,
is the Loop Waffa, but the Laugh Waffa. L A U G H W A F F E strike.com.
Got it.
Or laughwaffastrike@gmail.com. And I'll give you my number out, my personal number, and we can talk offline and put some
Dude,
things
I've
together.
So,
I think it'd be great.
I've got so much to talk to you about. Oh my gosh. Crazy.
Dude, I mean, we can, I have so many ideas I want to do that.
Listen, you know what?
God,
let me tell you real quick. You are the best ever. And I mean that. And you know what? I'm telling you, not to, hey, look, don't take it personally. Don't be like upset about it. I'm just telling you, you are. And this is amazing. This is amazing. Okay, cool.
Well, Tom, I want to apologize for being a fucking drunken asshole about 6 years ago.
It's A-OK, bro. It's A-OK. You know what? I'll tell you what. Right, there's some secrets that we can never tell the audience, okay? But
oh yeah,
some things that happened way back when were so funny.
Oh, I remember being in the doldrums, drunk off my ass, and I was like, "Tom, you're an FBI informant. Leave me alone." And you hung up on me, as you should have, and I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah, nothing got out of hand, and nothing crossed any lines. It was absolutely hilarious.
You knew I was unhealthy back then, and you did the right thing. And it's, dude, I'm so glad to hear from you. Know, this is the great thing about these call-in shows is I feel like the white man time machine. We're going back in time now, and we're connecting again. And I thought, have you talked to just a curious the other guy we used to talk with all the time, me, you, and him.
No, not in a long time. He still has some, I don't know about today, as of whatever date today was, August 28th. I don't know, but he had a lot, some similar challenges, and I don't know whether he's been able to pull himself out of that or not.
He's a great guy. I miss that guy as well, and I would love to hear from him.
Great guy. Yep. Really great guy.
I would love to hear from him because...
Maybe we can make that happen. I'm sure we can.
Well, I would love for that to happen because the guy was a freaking genius in his ideas he had as well. And I thought when the three of us were hanging out, talking on stuff, we had some great ideas. I would love to get back in contact.
Don't count out this Raleigh Quaid guy either and the guy you're speaking to.
Oh, I know that. I heard his show. Yeah. Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
William DeHewitt and Raleigh Quaid, great shows at Revision Media, and it's an honor to be on the site doing this broadcast right now. And I'm just amazed at all the talent that I see and hear on like a fucking daily basis from all different types of platforms. And I'm honored to be here. Thank you so much. So,
yeah. Anyway, thank you. Thank you guys, Mr. DeHewitt. Thank you very much for taking my call. I really appreciate it. This has been the highlight of my
month. I've been wanting to talk to you for a while. I've been wanting to talk to you for a while. So I thank you for calling in, my friend.
Cool, bro. Cool. We got, you know what, go ahead, I'm sorry, Mike.
Hey, Tom, thanks for calling, man. It's an honor to hear from you, and you actually made my day, man.
You too. Mr. DeHewitt, the only thing I wanted to mention, and as I know you know this,
okay,
the stuff that I used to focus on, deception and, you know, deception detection and counter-deception and all that kind of stuff, that is actually more poignant today than then. These guys are going crazy with this stuff now, and it really would help people to understand how this works.
Well,
hey Tom, the reason that
I'll get a hold of you, and you're welcome to come on anytime. Really?
Yeah, sure. Cool. This is not just a market. This is a public service, honestly.
I started doing shit again, the reason I started doing shows again is because I would hear all the disinformation for the last couple of years coming out of so-called white nationalist broadcasts, and I would sit there going, you got to be fucking kidding me. I can't believe they're doing this, and they're doing a great fucking job, by the way, a great job at it, and I just couldn't take it anymore.
Well, they're very good at it because they have professional handlers.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And you and I know they do.
Yep. We sure do.
I actually know the names of some of them. I actually know who these guys are. Yeah. For real, dude. I'll tell you what I know. It's shocking, but it shouldn't be. All right, you take me out.
Great to hear from you, brother.
This is awesome. Continue with your show. Sorry, I don't want to hijack nothing. Take it easy. Bye. I'm out.
Hey, Tom, email me at the email address, and let's get in contact offline, man.
I'll do it right away. Take it easy.
All right, man. Bye. Thanks, brother. Wow, yeah, this is interesting. You. Interesting show,
yeah,
man.
Mike, I told you last year, I asked you about Tom in Connecticut, how I wanted to get a hold of him, but you told me exactly what happened the last time you talked, and that's great that he called in.
I'm glad he called in. I was in the midst of a deep addiction to alcohol, and I he called me, and I was I just moved into a new apartment and everything, and I was like, you know what, man, I think you're a fucking fed. That was, and he wisely hung up on me because I was a fucking idiot. So it's great to hear from him. And
if I may ask, were you talking about the third guy? Was his name Dave by chance? Is that who you were talking about?
Well, I don't want to mention anybody's name in the air, but he was a great guy, and none of these guys, all these guys were great guys, and the ideas that we used to, even before I started talking with you, William, I used to talk with Tom and this other guy, I don't want to mention his name online, and we had ideas for, like, shows and parodies and all kinds of stuff, man, that would have been amazing. I think we could still do them, so I can't wait to talk to Tom.
Yeah, with your new website, I would love to consolidate with you. As you know, I've been trying to build a website now for the past few years, and I've been trying to get people to come back, and they say they're going to come back, and then they never do, and then maybe, you know, I'm all in. If you want to, we need to get that website.
Well, let's do it. I mean, I had an idea for, I'm actually, the number one thing I'm trying to do, and you can help me with this, William, is I'm making a documentary that's going to be – I've actually started filming the documentary, and it's called White Lies, The History of White Genocide. And I'm working on that right now, and it's going to be – it's the main thing I'm focused on. And it gets into the plantations, British mercantilism, how we've been sold out as slaves from the very beginning, and that is what I'm working on now. I've got about an hour and a half of content on the documentary made, and I plan to release the documentary on Christmas Day on purpose because I want to release it on a day that they think they control it for symbolic reasons. And so
I want to promote so that's book what I'm working too. On. I know you said
the book is done. The book is called Behind the Alt Mic. And I finished the book, and I've just I'm finishing typing it out now, and I'm actually going to release the book for free as an audiobook on my BitChute channel. I'm going to read the whole thing and give it out for free. I don't want to make any money on it.
I'll publish it on my website too. I've been wanting to make my book and do an audiobook. I just haven't gotten around to it. But if you want to put it up on my site too, I'd love to. I've been wanting to start like a store where you can donate, even like not sell anything.
I don't want any money. I don't want to make any money off anything. I don't want to do it. I mean,
well, I'm just saying though, if people like our listeners are artists or musicians, if they want to sell their stuff, I've been wanting to start a page on my site where they can sell, like listeners can sell their work, their art. You don't have to sell it though. You can put it up there.
This is something that I really believe in that I've been talking about lately. I don't want to be a part of any paywall or any profiting or any money. This information that we're talking about, I want to make it free to our people, to our race, so they can set themselves free. I don't want to get paid off of it. I think that's immoral. And I'm not saying that you're doing anything immoral, but I'm just saying, me personally, I'm going to give out my book for free. I'm going to record it, put it up on BitChute. It's going to be coming out soon. I just don't want to do it. I don't want to have any money ties to information that I'm doing because I feel like that once you start down that road, you get compromised. I don't like it at all.
What I mean by it, if you want to donate, if somebody wants, that's what I do. Anybody can read my book, but if you like to donate, I could sure use it to live. I'm not asking people to pay me.
We
should be helping ourselves, helping each other. That's what I mean. We should be helping each other. Or if you are an artist and you want to sell a painting, I'm not going to keep you from, you know, selling your work if you want.
I agree. And but these fucking kikes with their paywalls are fucking unbelievable with their, oh, I'm a white nationalist, $10 a month to hear me talk about the Jews. Get the fuck out of here with that shit.
Yes, I agree. Now, I'm all for helping our folk, you know, helping you out, helping me out. And a lot of my listeners know, and I'm not, like, shilling here, I really need the help. If anyone,
yeah,
really,
I know.
I'm not. So I mean, I'm not like begging people to pay me for my work or anything. In fact, that's all I'm going to say about it. So now I feel I feel dirty now that
No. I totally, I understand where you're coming from, but I'm saying I work a full time job. I work my ass out. Ass off at a slave fucking wage job to pay my bills. And, you know, I know that other white people like me are struggling and they're barely able to pay their bills. I would rather them keep their $10, $20, $100 a year for a paywall subscription and spend that on their family and spend that on food for their children. And I'm going to give out the information for free because it's about our survival. If we're profiting on information that's going to mean the survival of our race, then what the fuck are we doing, man? I mean, I just don't understand that at all, and it makes me sick. It makes me sick at my stomach. I don't want your shekels. I don't want your money. Spend it on your family, and spend it on, you know, I'm putting food on your table and spending quality time with your family. I don't want your money. I'm going to give you the info for free because this is not about me. This isn't about money. This is about survival of our race, of our heritage, of our culture, and that is something that I do not, it's immoral to put a price tag on as far as I'm concerned. So.
Yes, I agree. I'm not discouraging people, and I'm not just talking about myself either. I fit, how do I say this without sounding dirty? There are people like you and I, Mike, very few out there, who are struggling, right? And if we want to keep those people out there, we should be helping them. We shouldn't, they shouldn't be putting up a paywall or any of that junk, but we should be helping our people who are putting out good information because there aren't very many out there doing it. That's what I've been struggling with.
This literally is the survival of our race. If this literally is about the survival of our race, of our people, why would people, when they know that our community, white people, European people, are being taxed by Shlomo each and every day to oblivion, and they know we're about trying to have our race survive, why would they put more economic pressure on them by giving them information for them to survive, to give them the information for the lifeboat, for the life raft on the fucking Oy Vey Titanic they're on? And I just can't do it. It just I feel sick. I work a job and I do the best I can, and I would not want to tax any of my own people into information that I think will save their families' lives. I think it's that important, and I will never be a part of that. And donations are one thing, but
help out. Help out the people who are putting the good information out, though, because I know people who can't even get online to put the information out there, you know. It's a shame how we've been so screwed in this society that's been that works against us. Yeah.
Yep.
It's awful. So I guess if we have any closing remarks, is help your people that are trying to help your race too. If you have extra shekels, you know, I'll never beg for money, but for people who need it in our own community, help them out if you can. So, you know, what comes around goes
around, too. Absolutely. And thanks for having me on the show, man. It's been an honor.
Well, thank you, Mike. And I'm looking forward to being on your show tomorrow. So I really appreciate
tomorrow
it.
We'll
I'm
do
glad
it.
To hear your point.
Rolly Quay, great show on this network as well. I love your info. By the way, I saw the video. They get mad. They're going to slit tires. They're going to attack you because, you know, ultimately pedophilia is their religion. That is the core of their spiritual belief. I mean, they have to vampirize and take the energy from the innocent. And that's how they, that's their life extension technology, if you will. And I'm glad you're exposing that. And it's great to hear from you as well, man.
All right. I lost you there for a minute, Mike. Yeah, I don't know if he's still on or not, but I'm sure he'll hear you in the archives.
Well, good. I think he's doing a great job, and that what they're, I mean, the heathen rage. You know, they're raging and they're getting mad and go after their vampirism, their spiritual sexual vampirism, their blood libel, they get mad. They don't like that. So.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So, all right. Anyway, man, I'm exhausted.
If you would, stay on the line for a minute afterwards, all right? And I'm going to end the show now. I'd like to thank everybody for listening. All the callers, Tom, Raleigh, Richard, thank you for everything. And, folks, I will see you next week. I have a great show lined up for you. So be here, and thank you, everybody. Cheers.